Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Lord Mayor of Dublin, Councillor Christy Burke, welcome to the chip van of love.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. You're a very patient man. You were sitting outside waiting for the news and Nile Rodgers to play. Are you a music fan, by the way?
I am, yeah.
What sort of stuff are you into?
Well, I would have been a big Joe Dolan fan, and I would have won the Joe Dolan impersonation show.
You were joking, did you?
Yeah, I have the trophy to prove it. And
what did you sing?
I sang Unchained Melody, and I sang Caught in a Trap.
So like Elvis, the Suspicious Minds?
Yeah. And I would be a Neil Diamond fan. And I would have been a great fan and lover and still am of Luke Kelly.
Luke Kelly. Now, actually, as you mentioned Luke Kelly, isn't that one of the things you want to do before your term of office is out, is to commemorate him a la Phil Lynott or Lynott off Grafton Street there? So what's the plan?
Well, the plan is, thus far, I had a meeting with the Kelly family last week, and I'm pleased to say we're confident of the money. The development of the sculpture has gone out to, I think it's down to 3 artists now, shortlisted for to draw up the sculpture, and all we need now is the location. And okay, we're also going to call, there's a park down beside the conference centre that's now going to be named after Luke Kelly from a motion I had to the City Council, and Jimmy Kelly, Luke's brother, has agreed that we'll do that very shortly, do an official opening.
And so the statue, where do you think the statue, where would you like to see the statue?
I'd love to see the statue down in the north in our city, in the Sheriff Street area, beside the conference centre, where it belongs.
What about down the south side with the poshies at Raglan Road?
No, I mean, Luke was a north sider. I'd love to see it in the middle of O'Connell Street, but that's not
practical. Get rid of one or two of those. Jim Larkin out of there and bang Luke Kelly in there.
But I would settle for the north inner city. And that's a matter now for the family and discussions. Okay. And we'd meet again on Monday night. And the Mexican ambassador has thrown his weight in behind the two. He's a great fan of Luke. He visits the grave regularly.
Does he really?
He does, yeah.
He's a bit of a character, is he, the Mexican ambassador? His name comes up when...
He's the best thing that ever arrived in Dublin.
Since
as
tequila.
An ambassador. And, you know, he loves to give out the tequila. Even if you don't drink, he said you can use it for aftershave.
Oh, yeah. Depends on the strength of it. Here we go. Party on with the mayor. Now, on booze, what are we doing? Good Friday, pubs open or closed?
Well, look, I mean, if anyone wants a drink on Good Friday, they buy a ticket in Connolly Station and they're allowed a drink.
Yeah.
If they want to go on the B&I car ferry to go across the Irish Sea to Holyhead, they're allowed to drink.
Yeah.
The Vatican doesn't close down its bar or its festivities or its hospitalities. Some years ago, the ban was lifted for the Munster final in Limerick, I think. And therefore, it's a draconian law. It's nothing to do with the Catholic Church. And I think you have tourists here all the year round. Yeah. You're coming into 2016. You have people who sit in hotels who cannot have a drink. You may have families who want to go out for a meal on Good Friday, and they might like a glass of wine or two, and it's not there. It's ridiculous. We're a European city. We're a European country, and we should rock and roll and just lift the monitorium. Rather, it's drink is like fight. If you look for it, you get it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the night before that the supermarkets will be overloaded and doing all
every
special
time.
Deals.
Every Holy Thursday, you've got the cars reversing up with the hatchbacks out, and the tray is going in.
And here we go.
It's like the famine looking
for
food.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, and yet it's a tradition that's held dearly to some people's hearts. What?
But look, I mean, so is not eating meat on a Good Friday, Ryan. So was the stations of the cross. So was every shop closing in the city from 12 to 3. So was I as a kid. I remember my mother giving us rice instead of meat. All of those draconian laws, they're gone. We can all respect our religious beliefs, but you don't have to say, well, I'm not drinking. If you don't want to drink today, you won't drink today.
Yeah.
But it should be removed. There's tourists, there's visitors, there's families. And therefore, you know, let the people at it. Let people enjoy themselves.
Do you like a pint yourself?
I don't drink.
At all?
Ryan, no.
Why not? I mean, that's a real Irish question. Why don't you drink?
Well, I had a problem with alcohol.
Yes.
And I stopped drinking 35 years ago.
And that's recovered in the papers today, that you were in the AA and you had to go to meetings and stuff. When did you decide I'm drinking too heavily?
Probably at 15 years of age.
That's very young. So what age were you when you started?
I had 2 bottles of Celebration the morning I made my confirmation.
You would have been 12?
12.
Where did you get the booze?
They were in the house. I lived in Hardwick Street Flats.
And what happened to you? How did you feel when you were walking around?
I felt on top of the world, and it removed any inadequacies in me. It removed any insecurity, and it also allowed me to militate towards the bishop who was giving out the pledge.
Explain that to me.
Well, you know, when you made your confirmation, then you got a pledge from the bishop, from the altar. All of the young men and women, young kids in the church, we took the pledge. And it was a pledge of repent against alcohol, don't drink alcohol. And I remember saying, well, I'm going to show them, I'll militate, I'll take the pledge, but they won't know I've had two bottles of celebration.
Okay.
And I done that, and it removed everything, and it made me top of the world, and I decided to marry it from then on in.
So how much were you drinking then from 12, 13, 14?
I was drinking enough to get me into trouble. I was drinking enough that cost me more than money. And then I would have been familiar with detox units, A&Es, and even the morning I got married, I ended up in a detox that night.
So how old were you when you got married?
I was pretty young.
Go on.
Ryan. I think 19.
Yeah. And you went on the lash that day?
Yeah, well, I went on the cute lash that day. See, a person with a drink problem can camouflage it. Like, you know, you can leave a pint of beer beside it and just pretend to sip it, but have a half bottle of vodka in your pocket and go to the bathroom every 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Or as I used to do at home at times was put it into the washing up liquid. I'd rinse out one of them and I'd fill it full of vodka and I'd go in and out of the kitchen and I'd pour it into my mouth. And I remember my ex-wife saying to me one time, why are you running in and out of the kitchen? And I said, I'm washing the delf. But she said, we've only 4 cups. You've been in 10 times. So I done all the tricks.
Yeah. But deceptive. It's a deceptive life to lead for the alcoholic.
Yeah, and it's worse. It's unfortunate on the victims or the family because they go into the pits of it, and you're oblivious to all that, and you're in denial, and you don't see anything wrong. And why should everyone be picking on me? And if only the world had changed. And if only it wasn't Wednesday. I wish it was Friday. And if only I hadn't married this woman. I married that woman.
Were you a tyrant?
Were
you a difficult person to live with?
Well, I was the type of guy who grew up on the table and sing and dance.
You were a great crack, but you were a pain in the arse.
Yeah, I was, Like, it was every nation's battle but my own, you know, where I'd no responsibility. I didn't care about anybody or anything. Yeah. It was me.
Selfish.
But that was the addiction that took over. There was times I used to wake up in the mornings and say, first of all, I couldn't remember where I was last night. And then I'd say, I don't want to be me today. I really don't want to be. Please let me change.
The paper, Katrina Loughran's paper, a story in the Star today, says you mentioned David Bowie and who's the other?
Marlon Brando.
Are you not meant to not tell people?
It is anonymous, of course, and anonymity is the spiritual foundation.
So did you not break a trust there?
No, they have made it public, and they have been publicly announced
and
throughout
so I
the
go
years.
To AA, so,
but if Johnny Black or Mary White in Crumlin or the Northern Assyria, absolutely no way.
Yeah.
Absolutely
okay,
no
so
way.
Okay, so that's...
But these guys were up front in America. I mean, it was rehab, 12-step program. They mentioned it all of the time.
And is it at those meetings when people are like super, you know, international superstars like Brando and Bowie? Is it very much a case that everyone's equal, or
absolutely.
Do they have a glow about them?
Absolutely. I was in America recently, and there was 400 at a meeting one night, and there were some famous personnel there. Everyone's treated equally. That's the great privacy, and that's the great respect that you get at those meetings.
Now, you spent a bit of time in prison.
Yep.
What years were they?
1972, 3, and then I think it was 84, 85.
And what were you found guilty of?
Well, I was found guilty of membership of the IRA.
Yeah.
And then the other one was myself, the late Deputy Gregory and Joe Costello, for the street traders, for the right of street traders.
Okay, so two very
to
different...
get places where we're actually sitting.
Right here in Mary Street.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the IRA thing. You were a member of the IRA, obviously.
I was.
Why did you join?
I joined because of the troubles in that... Well, I was a member of Na Fianna Éireann from a very young age. I joined the IRA purely for a 32-county republic and for the British to go home.
And do you still
British
believe
troops.
In all of that, or have you revised
Well, look,
your
I've
views.
Matured and I see the world out there for what it is and I see that everyone has a right to respect everybody's nationality, and we have moved on and there has been British withdrawal. I know everything is not rosy. I know the 6 counties are still under the arm of Westminster, but there have been massive changes. There's equality, there's justice to an extent.
Yeah.
There are still issues and still problems.
How was prison for you?
Well, you know, like everybody else, you know, there's no point in sort of saying, well, it was grand, it was a brush off. I found, you know, being locked up, your liberties were gone. It was difficult on those on the outside, your family, your wife, your husband and the kids. Very difficult. And I have comrades today in jail. And I found that difficult. My ex-wife at the time had to travel to Port Leisha in cold winter days, and there was only one train maybe every 7 hours. That must have been difficult. Where it was okay for me, I was in the surroundings of a prison, the surroundings of comrades. I could go to a cell, I could go to a recreation, I could read books, I could get lectures from the late Eamon McCamash, and she had to sit in a cold, dull a train station, wait seven hours. That was appalling.
And when you remember the RA, did you ever handle a gun? Did you ever pick a gun up in your life?
I did, yes.
And did you ever shoot it?
I did.
Did you shoot it at a person?
No, I didn't.
What did you shoot it
at? I shot it at a shooting range.
Okay, so you were trained to be a shooter.
Yes.
In combat.
Absolutely.
And were you ever sent out in combat without having to fire a gun?
Well, I was in Derry from 1969 till about 1970, but that would have been around the barricades, doing the practical work of keeping the Brits out and keeping the area safe from attack. Yeah. But at that time we had hurley sticks in our hands. We didn't have weapons because there was no great amount of weapons.
Are you 100% proud of everything you did in those days, or do you have any regrets?
No, look, I was proud to be a volunteer in Ogleagh na hÉireann. There's no point in me saying I wasn't. I believed at the time it was the right thing to do. I was defending the minority in the six counties. I believed they had a right to justice and equality, and I felt for that reason I was doing the right thing.
Well, you hear about there was fault on both sides, that the British Army weren't exactly very loving towards certain parts of the community, and equally the IRA would have done some pretty gruesome things to a lot of innocent people down through the years. Does that ever play on your mind?
Absolutely. It's with deep regret that there was casualties, that there was people died, that there was families suffered, that there was imprisonment, that there was hunger strikes. They were all deep regrets. It was a war. It was a terrible time for everybody. And of course, there would have been regrets in that area to say, you wish it never happened.
You were in the Easter Lily, I see, with your daffodils today.
Absolutely. I'm very proud to wear an Easter Lily, Ryan.
Yeah.
And it brings us to 2016, to the men, women and the children who died in this very street where we're sitting.
Well, listen, 2016 is going to be massive. And I think it's fair to say that it's important that it doesn't belong to Sinn Féin. It doesn't belong to Christy Burke. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to we, the people of Ireland. Is
absolutely
that right to say?
Belongs that, to the Irish,
that beautiful tricolour belongs to one
to
and all.
It belongs to the Irish citizens, the people of Ireland. It's our flag, it's our nation, it's our country, and it's up to us to make it a better country, and it's up to us to celebrate 2016 in a way that the seven signatories of the proclamation would want it to be, with equality and justice for all.
But it needs to be celebrated with gusto. I don't think we need to be hiding behind the door on this.
Not
this is an important moment in history, and I know that RTE are doing the Road to the Rising, O'Connell Street coming alive on this Easter Monday.
Absolutely.
Do you know what's happening then?
Or? Well, I know I'm engaged with an inner city, North Inner City, Terry Fagan Folklore Group, and we will read out 27 names of coming among women, and then we will adjourn to the GPO, where I understand there will be a procedure there and a structure there, and RTE will fill us in at a later stage as to what's going on.
They're going to pedestrianise the street.
Absolutely. Great day of events.
Vintage carousels, steam trains, classic cars, music stage, talks and exhibitions. So it's a nice way to spend the day, combining both leisure and history, which of course, as you know, is so important.
Absolutely.
You've had a very busy, I've had a few functions that you've attended that I've been at, and you've really brought a certain zest to the Lord Mayor's office that can very often be missing. You're enjoying yourself, I take it.
Yeah, it's like every job, Ryan. It has its ups and downs, its good days and its difficult days. But look, it's an honour and a privilege to be the first citizen of Dublin, and it's great to be Lord Mayor. I'm 30 years a member of the City Council. It was a long wait, but I used to say to Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and others, be nice to us on the way down, because you're going to meet me on the way up. And it took 30 years.
So
but
what's
there
the,
you go.
What's the plan? Do you want to be a TD, Minister, post Mayor's office? What would you like to do?
I would like to serve the people of Dublin Central, of course. Of course I would, and I'd like to serve them in a way that doesn't damage their well-being, that we don't have bankers taking over their homes, that we don't have people on the streets, that we have people getting medical cards, we have a proper and adequate health system.
Okay.
I could go on.
If you could be a minister for anything, what would you be minister of?
I'd like to be minister for homelessness and drug addiction.
Right, okay. Will you bring a bit of experience to that?
I would, and I would make sure that there was funds available to open up rehabilitation, and I would certainly make sure that 700 children are not in B&Bs or hotels as they are today.
Yeah, which is an ongoing problem, no doubt about it. If you could go to one museum in Dublin, which one would you go to?
The Hugh Lane Gallery.
Hugh Lane?
Yeah, I like going there. And Barbara does a great job. And, of course, the National Museum. But Hugh Lane is close to my heart because as a kid in St. Joseph's School, Doris Estuary, we used to get wheeled around there and it was brilliant.
And Kilmainham Jail must be.
And Kilmainham Jail is top of the range.
Yeah.
Around the Easter. And when visitors come over from England and Australia, family members, we all wheel up.
Yes.
To Kilmainham.
I often go there to check out where my grandmother's cell was.
Yep.
She spent a bit of time in there, but that's I'll tell you about that
another day.
Okay, in the meantime, if you were to go for a bite to eat in Dublin, where do you like to go for a bag of chips? Sorry.
Bran Stoker's in Fairview and Marino. They do a nice Irish breakfast.
They do a nice bite there.
Yeah, and I don't eat chips that often, but if I do, it's Nico's at Ballybox.
There you go. You need a bit with loads of vinegar, lots of salt. Okay. Anyway, you're wearing the green tie today. No surprises there. We appreciate you coming in to see us.
Yeah, the green tie is a linen Belfast linen tie.
Nice one.
Who was given to me by the Lord Mayor of Belfast, Nicola, who steps down today, I think, from her office, and a Sinn Féin councillor takes over. But she brought that down to me as a present. I had her in the constituency for 2 days, giving her a tour of the projects, the women's groups and that in Sheriff Street and throughout, and she brought me down that, and I haven't left her off since.
No, it's a real nice tie.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a linen tie before. That's really nice.
Very
it's
nice.
A good shade of green, too.
Nice shade of green.
Not quite 50 shades.
But no, but it's a nice shade. Yeah,
not
it's a lighter
off.
Shade of green.
It sure is that. Okay. It's been great to have you in the Chip Fan this morning. It's not Ninko's, unfortunately, but it's our own
snapper.
Well, weren't you getting your chips
the other day
Roddy Doyle's Barrytown trilogy?
Yourself and Roddy,
yeah, absolutely, no better man. Okay, Christy Burke, thanks so much, and good luck with the rest of your term of office. You're rocking and rolling, not quite in a Joe Dolan white linen suit, but you're all the way up to the end of what month?
29th of June.
Okay, and then maybe a holiday somewhere.
And a bit of a holiday to Connemara. Where you go yourself?
What part are you?
I go to Forbo.
Oh, beautiful! I know it well.
Yeah.
Geez, you might get a bit of fishing in if you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, listen, lovely to see you. Thanks very much. And you're very good. I know you gave us a lot of your time today. Keep going and keep doing what you're doing. Christy Burke. Thanks a million. Slán. Okay, we'll be back after this.